Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study.
This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance,
and compassion. We're so excited that you're with us here this Tuesday and every Tuesday that we meet from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. We're so excited again because we are studying an awesome book and a Bible study through prayer and spiritual warfare by Dr. Charles Spurgeon. We're looking at the power of prayer. We're talking about how do we pray successfully. And as we do so, we ask that you join us, and we always start off with prayer. We'll have scripture. We'll have a song, and then we'll have intercessory prayer. So God's blessings be with us as we go forward, asking that you join us and bring forward more understanding of the word and that. Together. Amen. God, we come before you, and we are so excited to have you with us today. We ask that you lead, guide, and direct us as we are sitting at your feet, asking, oh God, to usher us through to you, to your throne room. Lord, we imagine the emerald crystals that light this in front of the throne. We imagine the beauty and the splendor of the throne room, and we ask audience, oh God, that you would permit us audience. And as we come to sit at your feet, oh God, that as we do so, that throughout this time, that you would hear the words of and the blood of Jesus speak through and hear as we petition and offer up understanding, that you would give us revelation knowledge so that we could be articulate and clear, so that those children that you have who are listening, oh God, would have correct understanding and interpretation of your word. We thank you so much for walking with us and talking with us, to growing us, oh God, and knowing that as we seek your face, you said that those of us who seek you, oh God, could find you. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this righteousness and all those things will be added unto us. And so we come seeking, trusting, and being open to your leading through the Holy Spirit. We thank you in the matchless name of Jesus. We pray and say amen and amen.
Amen.
When Margaret is going to be on the scripture tonight. She thought she was, but I don't see her there. So, Bishop, if you would offer the scripture, we would very much be happy for that.
Yes. Reading from the New Century Version of the Bible, the letter written by James, I'm going to read from from 4th chapter, 2nd and 3rd verses. That's James 4, 2 and 3. You want things, but you do not have them. So you are ready to kill and are jealous of other people. What you want, so you argue and fight. You do not get what you want because you do not ask God. Or when you ask, you do not receive because the reason you ask is wrong. You want things so you can use them for your own pleasures. This is the word of the Lord, and we all said amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory.
because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Time where we come and we stand in the gap. We intercede for each other, intercede for those who need prayer. So I want to ask is if there's anybody on the line that has any prayer requests.
Well, good evening, Bishop Michael.
Good evening. Good evening, Margaret.
It's Margaret. I have a lot of requests tonight. My daughter and her husband are going through divorce proceedings with two 21-month-old twins, and I don't even know where to begin. It's like put out one fire, cut off one head off the hydra, another five spring up. And everyone is very upset, including the boys. And I guess the top concern right now is that Alex has been biting his brother Elliot, and he bit him on near the eye at school today. And the daycare is very concerned, and they're talking about filming him and documenting it. So I'm just concerned for their welfare, for the parents' welfare. The dad is depressed. The mother's kind of in her steamroll mode, and she's had enough, and she can't take it anymore. And she has a stressful job, and she's a workaholic. So I've just bought a ticket and flew up to Cincinnati. Here I am. And my motto is, if a child needs help, you should help them. Help them. Prayers for peace in the house, that there would be a resolution. And the dearest prayer of my heart is that my daughter would get some help, that my son-in-law would get some help, counseling or someone to talk to, that would help them to work their way through this, whatever the case may be. And I would hope that they could resolve and save their marriage, because they have a lot of stressors with these children, especially being very smart and active and healthy. So I just praise the Lord. I lift up this request, and I also lift up my family that I won't be seeing for Thanksgiving, my mother, my sister, my husband, my cousin, who are going to have Thanksgiving in Florida. And I'll miss my husband and my 17th anniversary. We had to cancel those plans. But God is good, and I'm just looking for him to orchestrate every step of the way with the best outcome, and with concern for everyone involved. And I know there might be some problems and hurts and even some bad things happen, but I trust God to use it all for good, for he can do that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, he can.
Thank you, Bishop Michael.
Praise God. Amen.
This
is there anybody
Dr.
else?
Susie. This is Dr. Susie. Can you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Susie.
Hi, Dr.
Yes.
Susie.
Hello, everybody. So glad that you're joining us tonight. Love you, miss you. Asking for a couple of things. One, health. I ask for health. And I ask that my job, that I would have a job that God would desire me to have, so that I can make a difference in the place that I work, that I would find a place where I could, that I could make, that God would help me where I work. I leave it at that. And that God knows my desire and my needs. That I would be able to work well and be make a difference for whatever it is that God wants me to do. Also, asking that God would bless my children. My son James needs a car, And so I'm asking that he have a car, that he could be blessed with a car, and that my daughter could be well as she's looking to build a permanent relationship with a young man in her life. And I'm just asking that God would go before them as they consider that and begin to look at building a life together. There's so many things. Asking for people that are in my life to be blessed, those that I love, my friends, my family, the ones who have stood beside me, that they will be strengthened in their inner man with the task that God puts in front of them. And God has blessed me to have many people who are walking according to God's will and trying very much to be obedient and do what He's called us all to do. So we're asking for strength, asking for finances to be protected and empowered, because we are needing help as we help our children and do other things. So I'm asking that the Lord would bless us in that endeavor. And I have others. I know I'm going on, but I ask that you pray for revival for the church. And that God's people would see that it's time to be ready to go.
Amen.
Time to get ready to go home.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. And we're going to also be praying for those who are traveling this week, Margaret.
Yes.
I'm praying for traveling mercies, and I want to lift up the students all across this nation, and
amen.
You know, selfishly, my students that I personally get to have interaction with. Praying against all sickness and disease, and not just this time of year, but that our hearts would be turned to those who are less fortunate. Jesus said that we would have the poor with us always. So that we wouldn't just see them during the cold times, but they're around 24/7, and that we should be used to reach them. Those that were slammed by the storms, my goodness, and they're getting a double dose. Prayers for unity in the body of Christ, prayer for revival, as Dr. Susie alluded to. And we bind the spirit of rebellion in this nation and across the world. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Amen.
And we pray for unity in this nation and in the body of Christ most of all. Time is winding short. So let's go to the throne. Lord, we bless you. We exalt you. We extol you. We adore you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to walk into your palace, even into the very throne room, whereby we cry, holy, holy, holy. We bow down before you. We worship you. We adore you. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We bless you and we glorify you. We lift you up. You're Abba, Father. You are Abba. We bless your holy name. You're Elohim. You're El Shaddai. You're Yahweh. You're Jehovah Yireh. You're Jehovah Nisi. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're Jehovah Shalom. Lord, you are our God. And we are your children. We bless you. We honor you. We worship and adore you. Lord, we lift up Margaret as she's there up north in the cold, sharing your love, sharing your guidance with her daughter and her daughter's husband. We know that divorce is not pleasing in your sight. But people get divorced. But Lord, we thank you that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think, and we don't even question your ability, but
glory,
we thank
God.
You for your willingness, God. Your willingness.
Yes,
so we know that you are not the author of confusion, but you are the God of peace. And we pray that you would let peace reign in that situation right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against the spirit of depression, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command it to be gone, and we pray for peace that passes all understanding, and you keep their hearts and minds in perfect peace. God, we pray that you would send the Paracletus, the Holy Ghost, the one who is called alongside to help, and we would all touch and agree that there is help that is needed right now in this very situation. We lift up these children, that your hedge of protection would be around them, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We break the power of the enemy right now. For two on earth agree is touching any one thing of our Father,
and
it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. There is agreement upon this prayer right now while we're praying. We lift up Margaret's family during these holy days. Hallelujah. Holiday, God. We ask that you would bless them and keep them, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And your purpose is that we would be conformed into the image of your dear son. God, we bless you and we glorify you for Dr. Susan. We thank you for not only just the training that she has, but the anointing that is on her life now. And we come against every manner of opposition right now. God, you told us in your word that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. And God, it didn't say that the weapon wouldn't come against us, but it wouldn't be prosperous against us. And so I pray victory in every area of Dr. Susan's life, God. I thank you for every seed of kindness and love and compassion and even money that she has sown. And Lord God, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that every seed that she's sown in love and compassion and in finances and just being there present, God, I thank you that you will overflow. Glory to God. Lord, fill her cup until it overflows, God. We thank you, Lord, that healing is the bread of your children. God, feed Dr. Susie until she wants no more. We declare and decree that Dr. Susie walks in divine health. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God, Dr. Susie has a desire to make a difference in the place where she works. I pray, we pray, we touch and agree that revival will break out where she works, God. Bless James with a car, God, in the name of Jesus. We lift up Sydney right now in the name of Jesus with the endeavors that she has there to build her life with another person, to build her life with a young man. Bless this union and strengthen it. And God, we want to be able to do your will. Dr. Susie wants her friends and her loved ones to be able to do your will, and that your will, yes, God, your will would be revealed to those that she loves and whom she's ministered to and whom that she has come in contact with. Bless them with finances, God. And Lord, let us know, give us to know that time is soon to wind up, God. I lift up my students and all the students who are out for break this week. Protect them, God. This is a time where we get really nervous when we don't see our students, God. So we ask a hedge of protection around them. In Jesus' mighty name, keep them in the center of your will and in the palm of your hand. We bind all manner of sickness and diseases. You foul, tormenting spirit, be gone in the name of Jesus, God. Not just this time of year. We lift up the homeless people that are out on the streets. They're there every day. Amen. Jesus, you said that, you said that we would have the poor with us always, God. So God, give us the desire and the will and the fortitude and godly inventions and witty ideas, God, so we could go and reach and seek and save the lost, God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray for those that are in the storm's way, those that have been slammed by the storms in Buffalo and all the surrounding areas. And Lord, we would not end this prayer without asking that you would give unity to the body of Christ. Let there be a revival that is unrivaled, God. Let there be such a move of God that men and women would come crying, what must we do to be saved? Signs, wonders, miracles break forth all across this earth, God. In the name of Jesus, let a wind of your spirit, unmatched, unrivaled like never before, that we would see men and women come crying, what must we do to be saved? Lord, we bind rebellion in this nation because rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft, and we break that power, that spirit's power over this nation, over this world, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that time is winding up. Use us, I pray. Use us, we pray. Everybody that's listening to this broadcast, use us, God. Glory to God. Use us. Lord, we stand in need of you, and we stand asking that you would use us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our spirit. Speak to us. Guide us. Lead us. Direct us, God. What to do and what to do next. We ask these and many other blessings in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is our Lord, our Savior, and soon coming King. Bless your name. Maranatha, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
We had Brother Brett who came through today.
Praise God.
He wasn't able to stay, but he did come through. And asking that you continue to lift others up that are interested. And, he came back. There we go. Blessings, Brother Brett. Glad you joined us. Glad that you're back with us.
Thank you.
As we go through tonight, we just want to be mindful of our focus tonight is about prayer. And we are praying, asking that God will continue to lead, guide, and direct us and strengthen our individual prayer walk in life, that it would make manifest in our lives, with our family, with our loved ones, as we lift them up. And I think tonight is going to be one of those things that Margaret and I were talking, and this is something that is very important to us that we will be able to use. Prayerfully, we utilize everything we learn, and as soon as we figure it out, we start to apply it, and we start to make use of it as soon as possible, and that God will strengthen us as we go through, and we become more like Christ, amen, which is the goal. So we have just a few of us here with us tonight. Let's get a roll call, please.
This is Bishop Michael.
In Tulsa, send Bishop Michael in Tulsa as well.
Margaret in Cincinnati.
Margaret in Cincinnati, okay. Anybody else with us tonight? Want to join? Want to talk? We have others on the line. Maybe they just want to listen for a while. We have a few people with us tonight. Is anybody else with us tonight that would like to share? Who's on the line?
Hello, Dr.
Anyone
Susie.
Else?
Hello?
Hey, DeMarcus. We're so glad that you, DeMarcus Hazelwood, used to be with us a long time ago. Looks like DeMarcus joined us tonight. We're so grateful that you're with us.
Praise God.
So we have a couple other people on the line that want to just listen tonight. You're more than welcome. We're glad to have you with us. And anytime you feel you want to join in, just simply say who you are. In this case, you would say, like Dr. Susie, from Indianapolis and then begin to talk. And anytime you guys hear that, I'm saying, brother, sister, God's blessings be with you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just trying to let you know we're going to have to, whatever comments you're making, you just have to make it, you know, succinct and so that we can move on to finish the Bible study. And I usually don't do it until we're near the end of time. So you said something, Bishop?
No, ma'am.
No, this is Brett from Indianapolis.
Hi, Brett.
Oh, Brett. Glad you're with us, Brett. We're so excited.
Yeah.
That you're with us.
Hey, Brett.
Thank you. Awesome. Hey, how you doing?
All right.
So tonight we're ready to start, and we are starting, and our focus tonight is, again, Dr. Charles Spurgeon, as we are talking about prayer. He focuses on ask and have. And to start us off, Margaret, would you read that scripture once more, please?
Yes. James, the scripture is the book of James, chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust.
So what do you think, group? What do you think the writer's talking about?
I think that he's talking about, you know, he's talking about prayer, but on a deeper level, he's talking about one of the reasons why a lot of prayers go unanswered is because they're asking in the wrong frame, wrong motive, wrong attitude. And that's where we'll lead off, that's what he's talking about. When you ask amiss, and then sometimes, here's the other part, people don't ask.
Amen.
That's my problem.
Amen.
They just don't ask.
Well,
amen.
That's all I got to say.
This is Margaret, and I recall once going to a prayer and praise vigil, and there was a renowned preacher, which I do not, remember his name, but I won't mention it. But it was a focus on money, upon people
mm-hmm.
giving money to receive a tenfold increase.
Mm-hmm.
It was talk about politics, about individuals who are political people, and praising them. It was an unsavory worship, but the band got going and they prayed and they sang. It was a show. And I believe that he was asking amiss. Maybe he'll get that money. Maybe the people got the money who stood in line, asked in different denominations of donations. But they were asking amiss because it was about lust for money. And the other thing is, there's a favorite psychologist and philosopher that I have read when I was in school, in medical school, about different psychological types. And I see that my first husband, who left the family, and my daughter have the same personality type that he described, and it's called extroverted sensualist.
Mm.
And that is just, they see what's around them, and that feeds them. It doesn't come from within. They take everything from outside. So they see a butterfly, they see a gold bar, they see whatever it is. It ignites their lust, and they want it. and what they have does matter. And it just, it describes exactly what the Lord put in words so many centuries ago, thousands of years ago, that people are victim to their passions.
Mm-hmm.
And those are ignited by their surroundings, by material lust, by people that they lust after, by a car, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. But they're not looking inside to speak to the Lord, to be filled, to fill the void they're experiencing, thinking that external items will satisfy them, but they won't. And the Lord doesn't really want to give them, I don't think. So prayers like that, that's not the way to get what you want in the real, in the physical world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I think, thank you, Margaret, so much. I think we have to kind of look at when we pray, you know, can we lust after something? Can we desire it, as Margaret was saying, in finances and money and riches and different things that we can lust after for the purpose of selfishness,
mm-hmm.
and not for our own gratification, and not for the glory or the admonition or the strengthening of someone else, that our lust over whatever it is we're focusing on can make us slaves.
Amen.
And to whatever it is. And Dr.
Yeah.
Spurgeon was trying to talk about that, and he was asking us, he says, be careful that these lusts can make the man their slave and domineer over their judgment. So, you know, we think we are making the right decision, but our own individual desires, our own individual lusts, our own individual focus can thwart that.
And
therefore,
Dr. Susie?
Yes.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, he makes a point that there's a difference between sinners' desires and those of the saints, that the sinners' desires become lust, but the desires of the saints, I believe, because they focus on God, because they seek the Lord's will, they seek a message from him. They seek his direction and guidance. They read his holy word. And their desires are God-driven. And they are
not for self.
Evil. They're not selfish or sensual.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, this is Brett.
Yes.
Yeah, these first four verses that are in James that was read, if you think about it, a lot of this ties back to the original Ten Commandments. The thing is, when we ask for something, are you asking for yourself or are you asking for somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I've heard people use the phrase if you don't ask for it, you won't get it, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Steve
mm-hmm.
Harvey uses that all the time, but he doesn't go into a lot of detail about it. He's just talking about trying to grow in faith. Yes.
Uh-huh. And I think that's because, you know, in this context, what we're talking about is prayer. God wants us
Amen.
To understand clearly that when we ask, you know, we have to understand why we're asking, because if we ask and we don't receive, sometimes it's because we don't ask appropriately. And that's the difference,
mm-hmm.
I think, that Margaret was trying to communicate, is when you're a believer and you're in relationship with God and you stay prayed up and you're reading the scriptures and you understand God's promises, that when you ask, you know how to ask. You're not going to say, Lord,
amen.
I'm going to ask that you, what's something that God, I don't think God would have said. We're not going to ask God to give us two or three men to marry because we know that that's not within the plan. That's not how God operates. We're not going to ask to be able to go
right.
and do something inappropriate with someone and for God to make that available. Or you hear what I'm saying? Because God won't do anything outside of God's character and the promises that God has given. We can ask knowing what they are, expecting, with expectancy. And that's what we've been learning over the last several weeks. As when we do go before the throne, when we are clear about what it is we're asking, we have to speak to it, to plead, knowing that the God that we serve is going to do the very thing that we're requesting. And so that's why he talks a little bit about the poverty of lusting. You know, if it says, go ahead. Yes, Bishop.
Well, that wasn't me, Dr. Susie.
So when he talks about the boy hunting the butterfly, you want to, anybody want to talk a little bit about what he was saying when he talks about poverty of lusting? What do you think he's talking about? Carnal people lust, right? And it was telling you not to be carnal. To be focused on God, to be in relationship, to understand who we are and whose we are. And because we understand that, we don't ask for things that are personal gratification alone. We don't do that. We ask out of that relationship, as we just got to talking about, not looking for personal gain or looking for something wicked or something evil or something lustful. But it says, James said, for it's the threefold property you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because of how we ask. And I think that's really important. What do you think he means when he talks about fighting to get ahead, when he's talking about prayer? What is he referring to when he's talking about how we have to fight again? It says, according to the mind of the flesh, the only way to obtain the thing is to fight for it. James sets this down as the reason for all fighting. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members, James 4:1. But their fighting is unsuccessful. For James said in the next verse, ye fight and war, yet ye have not. He's talking about, what's he talking about?
Well, Dr. Susie, it's Margaret. I have these two 21-month-old grandsons, and they're fighting for the book that the one has, for the car that the other one has, and they take off with their nails and their teeth, and we're just trying to keep them apart and teach them to restrain themselves, but they can't, and grown men can't either.
Well,
Dr. Susie, this is Bishop.
Yes.
We fight and we war, yet we have not. A lot of times we think that that's going to satisfy us, what we fight for. Not fighting for or in the kingdom of God, but what we look at that we want. I remember when DeMond Wilson, Lamont from Sanford and Son, first started preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he made this analogy, which it's apropos for what we're talking about now. He said, I would look at my wife. She is beautiful, and she didn't get any prettier. But I had Rolls Royce. Then I found out it leaked. So what was lacking? what was lacking? He said it leaked oil. So he got a Rolls Royce, but that didn't get his satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was beautiful, but, you know, there was still something missing. We fight for these things, and then once we obtain it, we spend all our energy trying to obtain it. Once we get it, the satisfaction is not there. We find out it's not the Rolls Royce. It's not even the beautiful wife. You know, what we want is something that's more deep. And when we're asking for it, we get it. We fight for it. We war afterwards. Wars have been started over less than a car, than a woman.
And I love that analogy, and I love that analogy, Bishop, and I think what it wants us to look at as well is that, as Margaret was saying, you get a response that's different from the sinner versus the Christian. When the person that does not know Christ, the way they operate is they push forward, and they go on and pursue what they want regardless of who they step on or who they hurt.
Amen.
Versus the Christian who does not operate that way. And so that's what I think is trying to remind us about as we fight and move forward. We got to be careful that we aren't, that those who are not believers is reminding them how we look versus them. Not to rise just no matter who we step on or hurt. By any means necessary type thing. Don't, you know, it doesn't matter who you hurt, who you kill in the process. So I think that's what it's talking about.
And it seems, this is Margaret, that those who succumb to their passions, whose passions overtake them, that they are driven by evil and they fall into the devices of the evil one. They become pawns for evil.
Yes. Yes, because the enemy's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you have an attitude that you're going to excel no matter who you step on or how you get there, then that's exactly what the enemy is going to use to do his evil work. That's exactly what he's going to use. So when he talks about we struggle because we refuse to ask. What's he talking about? How can we struggle because we refuse to ask? What does that look like? What does that mean?
It could be that entitlement. I'm supposed to ask this. I ain't going to ask for it. I ain't begging. So pride, entitlement. That, you know, is when people who have their heart set on selfish desires do not succeed, they may possibly hear that the reason of their failure is because they don't ask. Is success to be achieved by asking this? So, you know, to really ask, you know, to ask, there has to be some humbling of oneself. So if I'm refusing to ask, I'm going to ask you. No, I'm not going to ask you nothing. No, I'm not asking for a thing. Prideful, arrogant. So that's what, to me, this is what it looks like, a lot of arrogance. This one, I don't need God. I've heard people say it. Scares me when they say it, because the Bible says, the foolish said in his heart there is no God, but there are some people that have such a prideful attitude that they don't need God until that last day on earth. And then they want to ask God.
And I wonder as well, Margaret and Bishop Marcos and Brett, I have a question. So how do you guys feel about asking God for small things? Like if you lose...
Again, this is Bishop Michael. Go ahead.
This is Margaret. I just wanted to say that I ask every day for small things, for today has enough trouble of its own. I try not to focus on the future, but it's small things that we have hurdles, small victories, small battles. So I ask the Lord, and I pray that his will be done. Because what I ask for, oftentimes I ask amiss because I don't know there's another solution, a better one that the Lord has in mind. Or that's where I ask amiss because I don't see the big picture the way that the Lord sees from above, under every rock, around every corner, at the bottom of every well. He knows what is going on all over the place. And so,
which is another reason why we should ask, absolutely, because God does know and we don't.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. That's a good point.
Marcus.
Go ahead.
I ask for things that would be considered small to some people, but usually is something major that happens. Because I always question myself, why is it that I want this? What is the purpose? Do I really need it? This is something that's going to benefit me. And I do that when I go out shopping and everything else, but see, sometimes we see something and we want it, but why do we want it? That's what you have to ask yourself. And a lot of times, sometimes I just silently pray as I'm looking around the store, and then I decide I don't need that.
Okay.
And it usually comes out.
Okay.
It usually comes out for the best. But God knows. And he always takes care or he provides a way for things to get done. That's it.
Amen.
Amen. So, DeMarcus, would you speak, please? Let us hear from you tonight.
What else are you small for? Just for good health, just for another day. Someone that I can witness. The reason I ask for the small things is because, like she was saying, God knows everything. So we don't know what today brings for us as we're going throughout our days, so what we need throughout the days. But if we ask for some of the smaller things, just so we can witness or be a pliable witness to someone throughout that day, that gives God the honor instead of bringing honor to ourselves or gaining something in store for ourselves. But what can we do for him?
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, this is Bishop Michael.
Yes.
You know, small things. In Chicago, well, in the Chicago land area, I should say, we have Woodfield Mall, which is at one point the third largest mall in America. And this time of year, especially now in these days in that we're living in now, this time of year, I would go to Woodfield Mall and I would pray for a parking place.
Oh,
you know, but yeah, you know, it may seem small, but you know, Lord have mercy, you better pray now because there's been people that's robbed out there. There's been people that's been, you know, carjacked out there. So yeah, pray.
All right.
Pray for the small thing. It might be small to you, but it's not small to God because God will lead you to the right place and the safe place if you ask God. So I don't think any request is too small for God. Where are my keys, Lord?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is Margaret. Today my prayer that I was begging the Lord, my daughter was going to rent an apartment after she had already rented an Airbnb for 2 months. And she was going to rent another one for the long term. And it was just, if you look at it, to save money, she was going to throw money away. And it wasn't rational, and she was all set to just signed a lease because it was a cheaper apartment, and it was awful. It was an old 1899 built building, thereabouts. It no doubt had lead paint. That's what they used.
Mm-hmm.
With two little kids that put their mouths on everything, dust, mold, damage, water damage, and steep stairs without a door in front of it. It was like, but my goal was, Lord, please help me without fighting her, because she's in like a rage. She's like in a mania, to not upset her and to prevent her from signing this contract for a year for a lease on this awful place. And the Lord prevailed. He did it. For the Lord, it's a small thing. And for this day, it was sufficient. It was, and now she found another place for tomorrow to go look at. So my prayer tomorrow will be again, how to convince her without arguing to sleep on it and not jump in. Not create a path where she can't go back. And pray for wisdom for her. That's a godly thing, to pray for wisdom. That's how people make many a mistake, without God's wisdom to lead them and guide them.
Amen.
So when is it futile to ask? We have some people who, you know, are lustful and they don't obtain their desire even when they resort to asking. So when is it futile to ask? When is it wrong, or when is it amiss? When is it inappropriate? When is it futile to do so?
This is Margaret again. Of course, it's futile to ask for an evil, sinful, lust-driven passion to be fulfilled. But sometimes we have what we believe to be a decent request because we love someone. We want them to be saved. We want them to be protected from harm. But it isn't the Lord's will, and he doesn't answer. And the Lord's will is divine. So as Christians, when our prayer is not answered, we need to trust God and continue to see what he has for us next, and continue to ask, and don't give up, and don't say that God is not a man, or not a man, of God, who a divine being who will answer prayer. We have to trust him and believe.
Absolutely. And it's how you pray, the very thing you're talking about, Margaret. If we're not praying authentically, if we're not praying with passion and pleading and all the things we've learned up to this point, if we're not believing in God when what we ask, if we have not had a relationship with God, if we don't know the Lord, we're asking God for something. And it says that we need to understand when we're praying that we pray knowing that the Lord that we're praying to, that we're in relationship with, and he's going to answer our prayer. But when we pray not from our heart, when we use a form prayer, when we're not using authenticity when we come before the Lord, but we're just using words like reciting a poem or something like that, we're not asking authentically. And what can our expectation be? That God will not answer that type of prayer. Can we expect God to do that when everything we've been taught to do, pleading, being authentic, being knowing who God is, being in the study, understanding the promises, all the things that God has asked. So if our desires of longing are fallen, if they begin and end with self, if the primary purpose for which we live in is not to glorify God, but to glorify self, can we really expect God to answer those kinds of prayers?
I would
Dr. Susie, this is Bishop Michael. I would think not. First of all, the authenticity. God knows. God knows the desires. And the Bible says that the heart is a deceitful, wicked thing. Who can know it? God can. God knows everything. So he knows our heart. He knows it's futile to come before God when we don't believe that God's going to do that. It's futile to read prayers that somebody wrote in a book unless you're praying this with authenticity.
Yes.
But when you,
and unless
when
you're
you,
praying from the Holy Scriptures, if you pray the Psalms.
Yes. Yes.
Those are wonderful examples.
Yes. But when you just like, you're just throwing a prayer up there, hoping that it'll land somewhere, you think God's going to answer that?
Sure.
You could have saved that breath. So when you pray, we've got to be authentic.
And when we look at that, when we're not authentic, we have what they call spiritual poverty. What are we talking about when we talk about spiritual poverty? What does that mean?
That means we don't have the Holy Spirit in us.
Well,
the Holy
we have
Spirit
lots
have
and lots
us.
Of churches around. Yes, we have lots of churches around us that are spiritually poor. And what
we're
saying, yeah, that girl, absolutely, absolutely. So they often have excuses, you know, that, you know, the churches are sad because public worship, they've been deserted, the ministry doesn't have any power, the members who come, they're indifferent or discontented. But the real reason is because they're spiritually poor.
Mm-hmm.
They are not operating and have not submitted to the Holy Spirit. The very thing you're saying, Margaret, is that they have to operate in spirit and in truth. That's the only way that the Lord is going to interact with us.
Amen.
We as Christians
Amen.
Have to seek higher things than worldly persons. Or else, it says, he would not be worthy of the name Christian. And so as Christians, we go before the Lord. We offer our and submit ourselves to God, understanding that the world is seeking to, you know, not focus on the Lord. That we're worrying about his this our church being bigger than that church. We're worried about more people coming to us than other churches. We're worried about how much money we bring in. Our focus is not on God's purpose, but individual purposes. And as a result, we don't have the power. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If they send a church where they're focusing on... Hello?
Yes. This is Demarcus, and I tell people all the time, God is not a fake God, and you can't go to God fake expecting something real.
Amen.
Amen. So competition is one of those things. Haven't you seen churches where they're competing? Well, our church is bigger than their church. We got a bigger steeple than they do. We got a bigger cross than they have. You know, we got more people than they do. You know, our pastor, our youth minister is more clever than theirs. You know, that's the competition that occurs when we're not focusing on what God is focusing on. And we got to understand, you know, they compete with the architecture. Come on, with music. Our church, you got a better choir than your choir. Social status. Look at the cars out in the parking lot. Come on, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that God does not want us to do that or to operate like that. He says that we would rather, from the Spurgeon, that do you think that the scriptures say in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, which is competition. Do you believe that there's an evil spirit that lingers in some churches of competition?
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. I mean, like you say, it's I believe that if all churches would do what Jesus did and follow Jesus and follow God, that you talk about the crime in the areas and the shootings and everything that's going on, but yet you don't see the churches outside of the four walls out there in the community like we should be to help mm-hmm. stop it. I mean, we can't stop it, you know, immediately, but just the presence, just the word being out there, just them seeing the Christians being out there in the community like it was when Christ was walking around. Christ didn't have a building around him and the disciples. They were out on the move all the time.
So, DeMarcus, why do you think that those churches aren't blessed? Anybody? Why do you think those churches aren't blessed? Because they fail to do what?
They are sitting inside, like we used to say back in the old days. They're preaching to the choir. As long as we have our little group under control, we don't worry about the bigger picture of what's going on out of control outside of these four walls. As long as these four walls are taking care of the four walls, we don't need anybody.
And so this is Margaret. And after a while, when the Holy Spirit is not consulted, if they're not turning to the Lord and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, then still part of them there.
This is Bishop Michael. Oh, I'm sorry, Margaret. Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, I was just saying it's not sincere worship. It's not sincere prayer. It's evil. It's selfish.
You know,
amen.
Dr. Susie, this is Bishop Michael. And the thing is, you know, there's a lot of competition in individual churches who has the focus on the wrong ideal. I don't hardly ever see churches in competition to do evangelism, as my brother was just talking about, being outside of the church. Again, there are some churches, some denominations that do not know what evangelism is. They think that an evangelist is a preacher that comes in and preach to hoop up the crowd. But evangelism is going outside of the four walls, preaching and teaching and showing and declaring and demonstrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I don't see too many people competing for that, because it's usually sometimes we've gone out, we've been cussed at, we've been had guns drawn on us, we've had knives drawn on us. Don't nobody want to do that. Don't see no people trying to evangelize where we evangelize. There's no competition.
So when we have these,
really,
the bishops, when we have these churches that aren't being blessed, that's my question. What is the reason why they're not being blessed? What is the
reason why
when you go by the parking lot and you don't see any churches there at prayer meetings? What is the reason that they're not being blessed?
What is the motive for them being a church?
Because they're not asking in prayer for God to come and do what God needs to do in their lives and in the lives of the church proper.
So
individual
me,
prayer
and
collective
and no
prayer.
Yeah. One of the reasons goes back to what the chapter is. Why are they not blessed? They're not asking. And they're not positioning themselves for the blessing. They're not in a position of humility and being, as somebody said, being real. Can't be real, expect God to do something real when we're fake. I'm not saying, maybe I just did say that. Sometimes people have the wrong motives for being in church. sometimes. But those there are those that, yes.
So what you're saying and what I heard Margaret say and everybody else on the line is that the prayers of the church measure its mm-hmm. prosperity. So if we restrain prayer, we restrain the blessing.
Amen.
So we can only have success as a church when we go to the Lord and ask for it. If we go to the Lord and we ask for prayer, if we go to the Lord and we inquire what it is that God would have us do, not being focused on our own agenda, but on God's agenda, and be willing to do what God has instructed and called us to. So can we pray, when Mark was talking about praying amiss, what does that look like when we pray improperly?
Wow. Well, he says here, you ask not and receive not because you ask amiss. When prayer meetings become a mere formality, when believers stand up and waste time with their long orations instead of speaking to God. Sometimes people pray.
Father God, thank you, Father God, Father
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm. Vain repetition. And I saw somewhere where somebody said, one Father God will suffice for a prayer. It's sufficient. We know who you're praying to.
And we have to have passion in our prayer, Bishop. We have to have a pleading that we've learned in the previous chapters. You've got to have something on the inside of you that wants to let the Lord know how important this is to you, what this means, and that you're crying out as if it's something that's urgent. And you got to be authentic with it. And it has to be a prayer that's not filled with doubt, but filled with intentionality and belief that it is going to come to pass.
And he says, the effectual, fervent, white hot, fervent, the effectual, fervent, white hot prayer avails much. It weighs heavy on God's heart. You passion behind it. You know, we can't throw that prayer up there, oh God, if you up there, if there is a God. Don't do that. There is one God. And it says in Isaiah, are there any other gods? I know not of you. So if God doesn't know that there is any other God, guess what? There ain't no other God. So we go to God in prayer, fervently. And that don't mean you always have to be yelling and screaming, because there's sometimes I have seen where the man of God, the woman of God that stood up there just whispered, and the power of God descended over the whole room. So that fervent, passionate prayer. And, you know, when we have relationship with him, hallelujah, when we have relationship with him, with God, God the Father, God, when we have that relationship, he doesn't have to tell us, who's there? My sheep know my voice. He knows our voice. He knows it.
It's 8:13, so that we're going to try to get through this, the rest of this chapter.
Can I say something?
Sure. We have I just wanted to read the verses from
Matthew 28:19-20, where Jesus told the disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. How many churches, how many churchgoers are not obeying the Great Commission? And when you do what the will of God, you pray your way, because it's not easy. But you that's a perfect example of where we have to obey and pray for help to fulfill the Great Commission, the word of our Lord Jesus, to bring more into the fold before it's too late.
Amen.
You know, one of the things I thought was really, really imperative is that if we were mute and couldn't talk and we couldn't mm-hmm. get it out, he was talking about how that person that's mute suffers so much because they're trying and full of distress because
yes.
they can't communicate, they can't talk.
Right.
How would it be for us if we couldn't pray? We have this hardship. We have
That'd
this pain.
Terrible.
And our spiritual nature, it says it's full of these strong desires and we're unable to pray. Would that not be a horrible affliction?
Yes.
And
yes,
so
amen.
We
yes. must pray. And we must understand that the first thing that when something goes on, not just because something is wrong, but when we wake up in the morning, our first thought should be to pray.
Amen.
If we're right with God and we love the Lord, the first thing that we do should be to pray. And then
amen.
We pray as naturally as we breathe. Right?
Amen.
So
yes.
praying is
amen.
Talking with God. Talking with God, walking with God, staying with God, and being present with God when we have questions,
yeah.
when we have desires, when we don't know which way to go, when we have we're looking for something. God wants us to turn to the Lord whenever we have a need. Right?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So that's something it says in the scripture. It says, I wanted to read the scripture that it says, it talked about, I'm going to read this one. It talked about the sailor. You want to read that one, Bishop, about the sailor? The ship was close to being wrecked. And it says they mount up to the heaven. They go down against the depth. The soul was melted
mm-hmm.
because of trouble. In verse 26 of Psalms mm-hmm. 107. But it says, still they do all they can to ride out the storm. But when they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man or at their wit's end, then they cry unto the Lord
mm-hmm.
for help.
Yeah.
So what it's saying is we don't want to wait until we're driven to pray. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to wait until we have no other recourse, that we're in trouble, and that we have to cry out to the Lord. But our first impulse, our first connection, because of that relationship, I don't know about y'all, but I always, when something came up, or I still have situations when I encountered something that's new in my life, what do you all do? I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Where do you want me to go? We just talked about last week when Nehemiah was getting ready to inquire something. He stopped before he even asked the king and did what?
He prayed.
Amen.
He prayed. He prayed. And so when we do that, prayer abundantly will be answered. What does he mean by it'll be answered abundantly?
So what you ask for, he going to give you more than what you ask for.
Yes.
Ask for wisdom.
Well, amen.
And
so what examples do we have of that, though? Give us some examples of that through the scripture, Bishop.
Solomon asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom, gave him fame, he gave them wealth. All he asked for was wisdom.
Amen.
Job got twice as much. You know, he had 10 children, and then after everything, God blessed him abundantly after he'd gone through his suffering, after he prayed. He asked just for normalcy.
David.
Jacob got his name changed.
That's exactly right. It says when he knelt down at Bethel to pray, he asked the Lord to give him food to eat and clothes to put on as he continued on his journey. But what did God do? When he came back to Bethel, his family and possessions were divided, it says, into two large groups. He had thousands of sheep and camels. as well as much wealth, because God had heard him and done immeasurably, extremely above anything that he could ask for or even imagine. That's what we're talking about, is when we ask, God will provide abundantly, and we can believe that. So John gives us this picture of prayer, and it says, did you ever notice the wonderful portrayal of prayer in this eighth book of Revelation? As John was receiving the remarkable vision of the last time, God gave him the special picture of prayer. It said, when the Lord had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. That's Revelation 8:1. There was silence in heaven. There was no anthems, no hallelujahs, not an angel stirred a wing, nothing. Silence, total silence. Then seven angels, it says, stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. There they waited, trumpet in hand. But there was not a sound, not a single note of cheer or warning, nothing. Silent, unbroken, awe-inspiring. Action was suspended in heaven. But then it says, and another angel came, stood at the altar, having a golden censer. There he stood, but no offering was presented. Everything had come to a standstill. What could possibly set it in motion? Prayer. Prayer.
Prayer
was presented together with the merit of the Lord Jesus. It says in Revelation 8:3, and there was given unto him much incense, the prayer, that he could offer with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. That's what moved, and that's what changed the environment and the atmosphere. Prayer. It was a key to the whole matter. Prayer. The angel then began to work with prayer. Everything was in place because of prayer.
Dr.
And that's
Susie.
What we have to do today. We have to trust God and pray so that God's work can be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Bishop.
I, just from what you just wrote, this thought came to me. We don't realize how powerful our prayers really are. That's all I got to say. What moves heaven? Prayer.
Prayer.
What moves heaven now? Prayer.
Prayer.
Oh, my. Prayer was
God
the key
loves
to
us
the
that
whole
much.
Matter.
God loves us that much. Come unto me. God loves us that much.
My God.
Amen.
What'd
you say, brother? Go ahead, D. We can't hear you. Talk a little louder.
I said it's not just that we pray when we need something. We have to pray often enough.
Mom.
I believe that God knows it's us praying, and that's what gives us the abundancy of our prayers being answered.
So prayer takes priority overall.
Amen.
So could you close this out? It's 8:23. Invitation.
You've been listening to some compelling stories and compelling witnessing to the power of prayer. You might want to know that power. Maybe you don't know that power. Or maybe you want to do it. It's time for you to come home. Time is winding up. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you asking that you would forgive me. I've been wrong. I've said wrong things. I've done wrong things. I'm tired of being wrong. You're right, and I'm coming to the right one for this moment. Forgive me of my sin. Heal me. Deliver me. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and therefore I am saved. Now you got to get into a church that's believing, Bible teaching, Bible living church, and Lord, and let the Lord use you where you are. Welcome to the family of God. It's back in the hands of Dr. Susie.
Amen. Brett, you want to close us out?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. We can now.
Okay. Yeah, my phone's been fading in and out, so let's see if we can do this. Okay. You have been listening to Blog Talk Radio. Every Tuesday you will find us here. All you got to do is dial 646-478-4932. We are here starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Dr. Susie is our host and moderator. You have a standing invitation to join us every Tuesday. Bring a friend. And don't be shy. I think we have about 6 more Tuesdays left in 2022. So don't wait. Have your wife join in. Girlfriend, any friends, call us. We're here. Again, our phone number is 646-478-4932. Be safe and don't eat too much turkey. May God bless you. Good night.
Praise God. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Good night. Love you.
Good night.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.